Thank you so much, and a sincere thanks to you as well for providing a very, very interesting and detailed presentation about a bit more technical situation that we have had in our previous talks. What I think this serves, maybe for the broader audience, is like a peek behind the curtains for how complex the selection of models and the impact of selecting training data can be. So I would like to maybe start off by sort of moving the conversation more towards these issues here. So, given the complexity of what we see in this example, where the different models of training the algorithms is having a big impact on the results from the AI part, how can we give make people trust that AI solutions can work? I mean, if we see kind of, you can interpret this as maybe a vulnerability as well. So it's maybe, is it difficult? How difficult is it? Should we trust that people making the algorithms and creating the AI systems for us actually have this kind of in-depth knowledge?
I think, we should always be skeptical to everything as part of the things. But I know I don't have any expertise or experience when it comes to the medical domain and using AI. So, but I can see from the presentation, I can lift out some of the question into other domains when it comes to having sensors collecting information and then using AI to assist. And you have it in, for example, in condition-based monitoring, when you look at fuel pumps for nuclear power plant, where you put sensors to check vibration, the current that is using, and the sound to identify the health status of the pump. And when I talk to my colleagues at IFE, it comes back again and again to not spray everything with sensors. You need to know the physics, you need to know the domain, and then put the right type of sensors in the right place, and you would have much less sensors, but they would provide much better data with a lot less noise. And that would also, when we talk about AI edge, etc., would have a lot of less needed bandwidth for bigger computational power. But here, when we measure it on the brain, I'm out of my depth, but I would accept right sensors at the right place. It would facilitate a lot.
I mean, I think it's interesting how he, when he talks about the instruction of the people doing the experiment, the moving of the arm, that they have very precise instructions of how to behave to avoid kind of measuring the wrong thing, if you like. I was just wondering, because I know, Thomas, that you have one of the most advanced coffee machines in existence. And I think I do recall that you also were, because you're trying to measure a lot of things in the coffee machine, but you were also able to pick up people moving around in the room as well with the same sensors. So how is this issue then affecting these systems?
Well, in one way it's relevant, but in this, if I go back to this condition-based monitoring and predictive maintenance, we have sensors around the pump of the espresso machine. It's like a commercial espresso machine that we filled with sensors from the nuclear power plant to show people what we can do. But that there is a vibration sensor there, and it's only meant to help assisting the health status of the pump and predict when it will break before it will break. But it's so sensitive that on the big screen behind the espresso machine, when I walk in on a Saturday, I can see as closer I get, I can see the vibration from the floor is picked up as well. So in that sense, you can see when people are around the espresso machine. But I also noticed when I was there, if I talk really loud, it also would affect the vibration sensor out. So it can actually pick out the vibration of my voice close to the espresso machine, even though the sensor was meant for something completely different.
I sense that this could be another starting point for a big discussion on ethics and fairness and privacy. But I'll try to avoid this time. Yeah. If we take the example from Nazmul, where the purpose is to measure, to understand the arm movement based on based on the EEG signals from the brain information. So he's doing experiments with the actual movement and also the imagined movement, so just thinking about moving your arm. And I've seen this previously as well with speech recognition, where they are doing experiments with for people who have difficulties, moving, making sound or actually talking, just by monitoring the EEG waves, when you intend to say something, you're actually able to do speech recognition based on that, which is fascinating. Almost science fiction, but it's not. But this brings me to what kind of limits of the imagination do we have when it comes to the use of this kind of knowledge, controlling things with your brain?
It connects very closely. I listened to a podcast about lucid dreams and the people that could control dreams. And up to fairly recently, people said it's just a myth. But then they could actually prove by putting people in a CT scan and then say, whenever you dream about this, pretend that, in your dream, try to grasp your hands like this. And then they see from the scan of the brain that during the dream when this happened, the brain gives the same signal to grasp the hand. But of course, during the dream, you're paralyzed, so it doesn't happen. So if you put this together in the dream, and if you can get it to work, then you can actually see when the person is actually moving their hands in the dream, even though they're not moving it. So I made that connection there, and I thought it could be really interesting.
Okay, so this is maybe then one of the more obscure situations where we are using AI to take work away from people, because you have these dream interpreters that you like, which is maybe a good thing to take them off the market. Did you have a commentary upon to this?
No, I think his presentation is very technical. Actually, it showed the electric signal, BTS and PTS, the technology, but it shows a new thing that in the brain computer interface, most of the time the training is done by 2D data, but it first shows that the 3D dimensional data is also possible. Mm-hmm. But if you come to the reality, actually, this type of things is happening in health science. After a stroke, when people are paralyzed or in the old home, then we are coming back to the same question. It is the privacy and everything. Yes. So whether you have to collect data, whether you are analyzed to collect data, but it is possible. Now, whether we will use or not, it depends on the privacy and other things. Mm. So again and again, we are coming to the same point, privacy.
Maybe with the stroke, because we automatically know how to move the mouse to pick something up. But if you have a stroke, maybe actually you get memory loss after a while. So if you can't move your hand for 1 year and then you say, okay, now you need to train, and the brain doesn't give the signal. But then maybe with this, you can say, now you're doing the right thing, even though the hand is not really moving, or now you're doing the wrong thing. So maybe,
I think that when you then combine it with advances in robotics and things like robotic exoskeletons and so on, that's where it could really be, I think the link to the EEG aspect of it could really be quite powerful, both in terms of rehabilitation and also for perhaps, people who have lost limbs or things like that in terms of having artificial limbs that you can actually link it to EEG and then it will perform the function.
You need to move that artificial things. You can use your brain signal to move your artificial limbs.
Yeah.
But also it would allow us to parallelize a little bit, because me moving and picking up this, I don't have to think about it. Mm. But of course, if I'm having a joystick and I'm controlling a robot, it's 100% focus and don't speak to me. I'm trying to get the robot to pick this up. But if I have this connected, I can pick it up while I'm thinking about the math problem at the same time.
So you can multitask.
Actually, whether you pick or not, your brain is sending some signal. So that's the thing, that whether this signal is complicated or not, but your brain is sending some signal to your limb.
But I don't have to at the moment think about it. It's done automatically. Yeah. And if I can get that with a robotic arm to do automatically, then maybe I can focus on other issues.
All right. I think that brings us to the closest this final conversation as well. Thank you again to Nazmul Siddiq for a very interesting presentation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And following good conversation here again, one that we won't land here. I think for dramatic effect, Claire, we will now go back to the podium.
Yes.